importance of being careful how we speak. There's a biblical commandment not to slander, and the Torah expands it, as we will see in the laws of Lashon Hara, that we have to take extra care in our speech. So we are learning the Chafetz Chaim. We're continuing the introduction. We're on page Yud. And the Chafetz Chaim had said in the first paragraph, "Blessed is Hashem who brought us into the land of Israel." And his purpose was to benefit us through the mitzvos. We become holier people. And we discussed the importance of this vantage point, that the mitzvos are not tedious, but rather they sensitize us. They are for our benefit. We continue. V'lo dai baze shenatan lanu et kli chemdato. Not only did God give us His cherished vessel, so to speak, His Torah, av gam tziva otanu shelo na'azvena. He commanded us and said, don't leave it. Kmo shekatuv, as the verse says, ki lekach tov natati lachem. God says, I've given you this great teaching. I've given you a great instrument. Al tazovu, don't leave it. And the Talmud says, what he's saying now is a paraphrase of the Talmud. V'lo kemidat basar v'dam. This is not the way a human being acts. Sheim niten lechavro matanah tova. That imagine you had something very unique, very special, and you give it as a gift. V'chavro eno mitneg bakashura. And then you see your friend. I had a friend who needed a talis. So I hand make my talis. We've invited, and hopefully this will come through within the next few weeks, one of the rabbis to give a class on how to make tzitzis. If you see it's not happening, get back to me and I'll give the class. But I prefer he gives it. He'll give it a much more interesting way than I can. So it takes time and effort. I made my own talis. And a friend of mine, I saw him, that his talis was in rags. And I knew he was unemployed. So I took my talis, which... Okay, I'll tell you the long story because it's an important story. The long story goes like this. No, because I learned this from the Rebbe of Bells, I think. I don't know if it's Bells or Gur. Story goes, one of the Rebbe's had a pair of tefillin that were written by a very holy scribe from 150 years ago. And they remained in the family. And the Rebbe would only wear those tefillin on special occasions. They were in a special place, in a special closet. And all the grandchildren would talk, who's going to get those tefillin? So they'd always come and look at them, those holy tefillin their grandfather only wears on special occasions. And they all spoke about how there's this one grandson who's really learned and he's really going in his grandfather's footsteps and chances are he's going to get it. And one day the grandson comes to his grandfather's study and he looks up and the tefillin are gone. So he goes to the Rebbe and says, Saba, where are those tefillin? So his grandfather says, well, a Jew came here last week and told me he doesn't have a pair of tefillin. And he asked me for help getting a pair of tefillin, so I gave him those. So the grandson is devastated. He says, Saba, couldn't you give him another pair of tefillin? Why'd you give him those? So his grandfather said, when we come to do a mitzvah, we take our best object to do a mitzvah. We don't take the bygones, you know, the things, the scraps. We take the best thing we have to do a mitzvah with. So that was my best pair of tefillin, so I did my mitzvah with that. I have kosher tefillin. So that story always blows my mind. Because it's so above me. Like I look at that and I say, that's nice. That's a, yeah. Right? So when I saw my friend, whose talis was already holy, so I told him, you know, I have a spare talis. And I was fighting with myself to give him my Shabbos talis, not my weekday talis, because I said, you got to live up to it, you see. That's why these stories are worthwhile. Whether they happen or not is less relevant, but they teach us an ethic to live up to. And then even if we're not on the level to feel good about it, but slowly we'll develop. You see, I'm also a work in progress. I'm working on myself, I hope, I'm trying. So
which one you give away?
I gave him my Shabbos one. But it wasn't easy. I'm not the Rebbe. I'll work on myself. Maybe one day I'll get there. Now, what I found myself doing was the next time I saw him on Shabbos, I wanted to see how he's treating. You know, you give him something precious, you want to see how's he dealing with it, right? So that's what Chafetz Chaim says now. When a human being gives his friend a good gift, so then, imagine you see him dragging it along the street. And you see, hey, I gave him a good gift. What's he doing with it? And you see, he doesn't value it. He keeps thinking, when can I take that back? That's what he's thinking. I gave him a good gift, but look at how he's treating it. But that's not how God behaves with us. God gave us a Torah, right? He gave us something that he says is cherished. It's precious. And then throughout the period of the first temple, he kept sending prophets to educate us, to tell us, come back, do tshuva. And again, we reach the destruction, we come back, the Renaissance, the rebuilding of the Second Temple. You're in the period of the Second Temple, Shiarad Matzava Yisraeli, that the situation of the Jewish people continued going downhill. Ba'avonoteinu Rabim Kedushato Rishona. So in the period of the Second Temple, we were worse than the period of the First Temple. Our sages say there were five miracles you could witness when you'd enter the temple in the First Temple period, and they were lacking in the Second Temple period. Nonetheless, when we were on our land, we had the Bet HaBechira. Bet means house. Bechira.
Firstborn.
Oh, so with a chaf, that would be Bechor, firstborn. Bechira is choice, right? So that's another name for the temple. Bet HaBechira. The house that was chosen. The house of the chosen. And we had the temple, the chosen house. So long as we had a temple, we could do all the mitzvot of the Torah. And in performing all the mitzvot, we are really bringing ourselves to wholeness. When we try to attain wholeness, so the way to attain it is through the performance of 613 mitzvot. Ki yesh banefesh, because within the soul, there are also 248 limbs and 365 sinews, right? Just like we say the body is composed of 248 plus 365 equals 613, right? That's the composition of the human body. You guys know what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. We have Mishnayos here. Yeah. Okay. So, our sages tell us that we have remach evarim, 248 limbs. So we're going to discuss the limbs without the sinews for a second. The shas is divided into how many orders?
Six.
Six, right? Shas is an acronym. Shisha, Sidre, six orders. What's the sixth? What's the last one? Taharos, the laws of purity. Within Taharot, we have only one tractate in Talmud, in the Shas, Nida, right? The laws of a woman's purity and impurity within her cycle. When she has her onset, she becomes defiled. So that's still relevant today, because during the time that a woman has her onset until she goes to the mikvah, to the immersion waters, so the couple are prohibited from being together. So within the Shas, if you open up a tractate Nida, in the back, you have the rest of the Mishnayos from the order of Taharos. So if we open the order of Taharos, I'm opening the Mishnayos part of this tractate. So then, if we take a quick peek, we have a Mishnah. We have a tractate called Tractate Aholos. Tractate that speaks about tents. Does anyone know why tents are relevant to laws of defiance? A tent.
Tumah.
Tent to tumah, right? Because we say if there's a dead body in a tent or in a house, the defilement spreads under that canopy. So we have a whole tractate that discusses how do you define a house, a tent, a canopy, what type of break would be legitimate. Any Kohanim here? Anyone here a Kohen? Oh, Mr. Dweck. Right, Dwecks are Kohanim. That's true. Okay, so you need to know some of this, right?
Yeah, I know the basics.
Okay, good. So the Mishnah, at the end of the first chapter of Aholos, the Mishnah discusses how do we know there are 248 limbs in the body? How does that break down? So it says like this. It works from the bottom of the body upward. Shloshim bepisat haregel. There are 30 components that are called evarim in the bottom of our foot. Shisha b'cholets, mahalso, six within each finger, each toe. Asra b'kursal, and the kursal is probably what we would call the ankle. It's a little bit longer than the ankle. It's like from the calf of your foot upward till the, what's this called, the femur?
Shin.
Shin, yeah, okay. It's been years since I did anatomy, right? So that whole section down there is called the kursal. There are 10 evarim in that. Shnaim b'shok. two Evarim in the shin. Okay. I'll say what I know, you say what you know. Together we'll figure it out. Chamisha ba'okuva, five within the knee. You have a nice Latin name for that. Okay. Echad ba'yarech, one within the thigh. Shlosha ba'katliot, and three within the torso. What's the fancy name for that? Okay. Achat esre tzlaot, we have 11 ribs. Shloshim bepisat hayad, and then we go down to the hand, which has 30. If you break it down, how so? Shisha b'chol etzba, six within each finger. Shnaim bakaneh, two in this part of the arm. Shnaim b'malpek, two in the elbow. Echad bazroa, one over here. Dalet bakatef, four in the shoulder. So then you end up with, do the count, you end up with 248. So that's, we skipped a few more. Right, the head, right. 18 chuliot bashedra, 18 in the spine. Teisha barosh, 9 in the head. Shmone batzavar, 8 in the neck. Shishab maftech shelev, 6 within the, I don't know what maftech shelev is. It's something to do with the heart.
Maybe like the ribcage? The aorta?
No, I don't know. Chamisha bin kavav, okay, I don't know. So that brings you to 248. I don't know exactly how we define, if there's an English word for what they called evarim. We use the word limbs, but I'm not sure exactly how they broke it down. But that's how we get to 248. So just like the, I don't know. So just like the body is composed of 248 limbs, so too our soul has components. And each component corresponds to a mitzvah. So when we had the temple, we could do all 306, all 613 mitzvot, we could do all the mitzvahs. Ach, livsof yimei bayit sheni. We're up to the final paragraph on the page. In the end of the period of the second temple, gavra sinat chinam. Baseless hatred started becoming rampant. Velashon hara. And people started speaking badly about one another. Ba'avonotenu rabim, amongst our other sins, uvavu ze nechav habayit, and this is why the temple was destroyed, v'galinu me'artzenu, and this was the cause for our ultimate exile, because people were speaking badly about one another. We're going to pick up here, in the middle of this paragraph, next time. You guys have strength for a bit of humor?
Yes.
I heard a beautiful Dvar Torah, but I'm not sure I'm going to get it right. Do we have a marker here?
Okay. Say that. Vav Aleph He Beis Tav. Okay? Vav. Lireyacha, your friend. Kamocha, as yourself. You guys with me? Okay. So the Hasidim come into the Rebbe. One of the benefits of being a rabbi is that people come and tell you jokes. And usually they're clean. So a guy comes to me Friday night after the speech and he says to me, I have to tell you Dvar Torah. And then this is the joke he told me, but it's a good Dvar Torah anyways. So the Hasidim come into the Rebbe and they say, Rebbe, we need a Dvar Torah. It's Parshas Balak. Balak, yeah? So the Rebbe says, okay. He tells them, Balak, that's an acronym. Balak, Zahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, love your friend like yourself. So the Hasidim say, wow, that's genius. They walk out and they start thinking, hey, wait a second, it doesn't fit. Balak is with the bays. The Hafta is with the Vav. They come back to the Rebbe and they say, Rebbe, we're just wondering, the Dvar Torah is genius, but the Hafta is with the Vav and Balak is with the bays. So the Rebbe says, well, bays and Vav make the same sound, they're interchangeable. So they say, oh, they walk out and they say, it's even more genius than we realized. Then they say, wait a second, but it's a vase, it's not a vase, it doesn't make the same sound, it's a balak and v'ahavta. They come back, they say, Rebbe, you know, we were wondering, it is a vase there, it's not a vase, it's a balak. So the Rebbe says, you know, in the Sefer Torah, it's not written with nekudos, a vase and a vase are interchangeable, so that's why the vase and the vav are interchangeable. The Hasidim say, wow! They walk outside and they're walking out and they're all basking in the glory of the Dvar Torah, when it suddenly dawns on them that Kamocha is with the Chaf and Balak's with the Kuf. So they come back and they say, Rabbi, you know, we have one more question. Balak is with a kuf and kamoch is with a chaf, so how does that work? So the Rebbe says, look, I really don't have time for this. You guys have to figure that one out. Think about it. So Hasidim walk out, they sit in the base medrash, they're looking at one another, and they can't figure it out. You know, kuf has the numerical value of 100, chaf has a 20, you can't even say just take off a 0. They don't know. Standing there thinking, talking. They don't know. After a few hours, two Hasidim say, we need pshat. They come back to the Rebbe and they say, Rebbe, come on. Balak, v'habt orecha kamocha, how does it work? So the Rebbe says, you guys have to make it work. They said, what? He said, think about it. So the Rebbe was telling them, you know, it doesn't work. You're right. So v'habt orecha kamocha doesn't work either. How can I love him? There's a reason why I don't like him. I didn't just wake up one morning and say, hey, I don't like the look of his nose. There's a reason. I have a very good reason why I don't like him. That's what the Rebbe was telling them. Yes. V'avt orecha kamocha. It's not going to work. Just like Balak doesn't fit into v'avt orecha. It doesn't. You're right. But you have to make it work. So that was...